Okay, here's the deal. I work second shift at my job, and every night when I get off work, I listen to your show for the past 5 years.
Oh, come on.
Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have comedian Mona Abermachon. And be sure to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Monday night. I hope that everyone is happy, healthy, and safe wherever you happen to be, and dry tonight because there's some heavy rains. It's very sporadic. It hits, it's like buckets. All of a sudden, it's raining, then it's dry, then a monsoon again. So just be careful out there. It will catch you off guard if you happen to think, it's dry again now. I'm absolutely fine. It will come out of nowhere, and you've got to be careful out there. There's some significant water buildup, too. I know on the Kennedy, there are patches where you think perhaps you're going to be on pavement, and you're not. So please be safe. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. And I thought there were some interesting posts yesterday in regards to how some people have a tough time with Mother's Day. And I don't think that that's unique. I know that one of my friends is estranged from her mother for various reasons. And she's a mom, so she celebrated. But she, you know, there's kind of this pressure on social media to show pictures of you celebrating with your mom and what you did for your mom and how grateful you are for your mom. And there are some people who have very tense, hard relationships with their moms. There are some people who've lost their moms, and it's a very painful day. So I hope that in whatever way you spent your Sunday, I hope that it fit your life, and you don't have to look at social media to feel like, you know, oh, I'm not there. That's not the kind of relationship I have with the people in my life. There, you know, other people's reality isn't yours, and you can make happiness where you find it. So I hope that you did. My mother and I, we went to visit a woman named Magdalena who is battling dementia. Her daughters could not make it home for Mother's Day. I went to high school with Magdalena's daughter, and I wanted to go spend time with her. And we sat, and she told stories about her daughters, about how her husband had worked so hard on building a life for them, and she lost him when her daughters were very young. And it was a really, for me, it was wonderful to hear her stories, to hear more about my friend's life when she was little. She talked about how her husband had built a lake home for them so that on the weekends her daughters could go to the lake and swim. And that was actually how I knew Claudia. We were teammates at Lane Tech. So I was it was one of those things where I never even really thought about like how we came to be swimmers together. And for her, it was because her dad had made sure that they had some place to go on the weekends and had access to swimming. And Magdalena told us about how she was so jealous when she would watch her daughters jump in the lake that she decided to surprise her family by taking lessons at the YMCA and learned how to swim. So that was a really sweet story. She is, if you ever have the chance, if there's something that we can give people, I think you know that it's often time. There are people who don't have the ability to spend time with their relatives. They're in recovery in nursing homes. They're in rehab facilities. You can call, and maybe it's someone you know. Maybe you live in a town where your friends can't come home to visit their relatives. It really meant a lot, and it was very sweet, and I look forward to going back and seeing her again. I also was, Esmeralda, have you seen this series called Call the Midwife? It's a BBC series that's now...
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's, you know, I finally found a show that I like, but I don't have to binge watch. You know, like some of these shows like Peaky Blinders, I wanted to watch all of them immediately. But Call the Midwife, I watch it and I'm like, I'm looking forward to the next episode, but maybe not right now. It's about a poor... a section of London where these nurses and nuns helped deliver babies during the 1950s. And it is, there's some rough moments when medicine was different and the needs of the population were significantly different. And so I was watching it though, and they finally came. I knew there would eventually be an episode about a baby who was born deformed. And I guess if you were to, if my son had been born in the 1950s, actually, if Declan, my 12-year-old son had been born in the 1950s, he would not have survived. Technology and medicine have caught up to where babies who are born with the neurological abnormality that Declan has, which is called hypoplasia of the corpus callosum, it affects every patient differently. And for him, it affected the development of his lungs. He was not able to take breath on his own. And I am so grateful to, there's an organization that we're all familiar with called the March of Dimes. Through their research and through contributions that you might have made over the last several decades, they were able to find a treatment called surfactant that lines a patient's lungs. In particular, this happens for babies in the NICU. It made Declan's lungs able to hold air, and that was why he survived. And also the quick thinking and hard work of the nurses and doctors who delivered him. And I was, you know, watching an episode of a, you know, baby being born in a different time. You kind of reflect on it. And I just happened to be watching this on Mother's Day when this family finds out that their son has spina bifida and that chances are he'll never be able to walk. He'll never be able to take care of himself and most likely would pass away. And this is on the show Call the Midwife. This is something occurring in the 1950s that their child would not live past the age of 16, and they consider putting him in a group home. And I was struck by it for a very specific reason, because when Declan was about 2.5 years old, I was seeing a therapist weekly, and she asked me at one point, because Declan was not able to walk, Declan was not babbling, and had a lot of health issues. And she asked me if I was going to consider having him institutionalized. And I felt like a punch in the stomach, because he was 2.5. I thought, who gives up? I mean, I get it. I understand, you know, I think emotionally, intellectually, I get that there are people who give up, who can't do it, who know that that's not what they signed up for. But for me, I was like, he's 2.5. He's this beautiful baby who laughs when his brother makes funny sounds. And he, you know, he loves the sound of music and likes to play in the water. And but watching this episode of Call the Midwife, I realized that that's a generation, that is the way people thought. And so it made a little bit more sense to me that she'd brought it up. It just, you know, it just seemed as though we're not there yet. We're not there to the point where people understand that moms like me, that there are so many of us who have children of all abilities who aren't going to give up on their kids. And I don't really know how to explain that to anybody. But that was kind of what Mother's Day meant to me yesterday, was sharing stories, hearing a lot of stories from my mom. Does your mom ever do this, Esmeralda, where she launches into a whole string of stories about when you were little or raising you? Because my mom was telling me stories about when I was born.
Not really. I usually have to pull them out of her.
Oh, really? Oh, you want more stories?
Yeah.
Let the bribe her. We'll find some way to make that happen. Let's take a break here. I do want to talk about, I know we have Mona Abermichon coming in. I want to talk about her travels. I also, at some point in the show, I do want to go over the reasons that you call the police. There seem to be some concerns about this, some issues, a lot of confusion, not just in regards to the stories we heard last week, but that seems like there's some, yeah. I can think of three reasons, really. Three reasons being a medical emergency. That would be one. Two would be a fire. That's a good, really good reason to call the police or 911 for first responders. And three, if you see a crime happening. But that one seems to be where we have some confusion as to what is actually a crime. Our first responders have very important jobs to do. Let's not go send them off on my, you know, cashier at the drive-thru didn't give me ketchup. Let's not do that. More after this on 720 WGN. Michael, quick. My executive producer, Michael Heidemann, I need you to start singing the words to this song right now.
Splishity splash splish.
In my heart, and I'm ready to go.
I didn't know there were other words besides singing in the rain.
Yeah. All right.
I love this this scene in the movie, though. I can picture it in my head. I've never seen the movie, though.
Who stars in this movie?
I know that. Gene Kelly.
Correct. Yes. It's one of my favorite movies, Singing in the Rain. And Donald O'Connor, who's Make Him Laugh. That's one of my favorite. I actually credit that scene in the movie with ruining my entire life. Make Him Laugh. Make Him Laugh. I'm sorry.
Because it sets
him laugh.
You on the trajectory.
All the world loves to laugh. Yes.
To be a comedian.
Because he said all the world loves to laugh. So make him laugh.
It's one of the greatest things you can do is put a smile on somebody's face.
I find it to be helpful.
We should do that for What's That From one of these days.
What's That? Oh, certainly. Now you've given it away. Now people will be thinking. They'll be calling every week. Is that Singing in the Rain? Is this Singing in the Rain?
We're going to give away so many apt cards.
How about now? Is that it now? You know what people don't laugh at? At least what I don't laugh at is when I find out that 911 has been called for ridiculous reasons. Now, last week we heard several stories about absurd reasons why the police were called. One student in a dorm, a graduate dorm at Yale University, called the police when she found a woman sleeping in a common room. A black student was sleeping in the common room. So what do you do? So, Michael, let's say you live in a condo.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let's say you see someone sleeping. You have like seating, like areas, like common areas.
Yeah. Right? They're common, like the party room and the shared quarters.
Sure. So if you saw someone you didn't recognize, is your first go-to response, I got to call the police?
No.
No.
Never.
Have you ever seen someone sleeping?
Yes. And it makes no sense why someone would do that because most of the time I don't know the person. I just think that it's my fault that I haven't introduced myself yet.
To everybody?
Yeah. And
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You see someone sleeping in your common area. Well, first of all, this student turned on the lights and started yelling at the woman. So a little bit too late for introductions.
Right. And also you're at a school with a lot of people you don't know. You're saying you know every person at Yale or at the university you're going to. That's
yes.
not going to happen.
I'm going to wager a guess there are tens of thousands of students. Like there have to be like at least, I mean, I know at University of Illinois, when I was going there were at least 30,000 students. Undergrad and graduate.
Yeah.
Right? So Yale's got to have at least 20,000.
20,000 and the people
maybe
work
less.
There too. And
right.
You can't fathom that amount of people.
And if you think there's someone sleeping suspiciously with their notebooks and their laptop, I mean, I don't know who, and that's really why she called the police. Someone was sleeping suspiciously in her building.
How do you sleep suspiciously?
I guess while you're black. I don't know. I can't think of any other reason. I mean, this woman, by the way, before you jump to any conclusions, thinking I perhaps have jumped to conclusions, this is the second time the white student has called the police on black people in the co-ed dorm. So that's one. There's actually another story today out of Washington, D.C. A dad was home with his son because his son was not feeling well. He had a little bit of a fever. It was a nice day in D.C., so he decided, his son seemed like he was doing a little bit better. His fever was under 100, so he thought maybe I'll take him for a walk in his stroller. The baby's like 2 or 3. He had him in a stroller walking through a park. The police rolled up next to him and said, excuse me, I don't even know how they broached this, but they said, we got a phone call about a suspicious man with a stroller. So that there wasn't even the only call, the only alert that the police got was that he looked suspicious walking in a public park. And it turned out to be a white cyclist. A woman on a bike had alerted the police to, I don't know. And I have to hear from our first responders. Is a suspicious person with a stroller enough to respond to that call? And then the other call many people know about already, as you saw this with the barbecue in California, I believe it's Oakland, California. There were some folks barbecuing, having a small family party, and a woman spent 2 hours trying to make sure that the police arrived to let them know that they were using charcoal in the barbecue area. You're not supposed to use charcoal. Is charcoal, is someone not using the proper burning material, a reason to call the police? Okay, we're going to go through some of these in a little bit, but I have a lot of 911 operators have shared stories of the most ridiculous reasons that they have been called and have been asked to dispatch first responders. And I think we've got to, I don't know what kind of laws we have in Illinois. Maybe that's what we need to do is contact our legislators and find out what's the repercussions? There has to be some sort of repercussion. There has to be some fine. There has to be something to dissuade people from using 911 like their personal bodyguard or their personal problem solver. They are not your problem solvers. They're there to serve and to protect. I guess maybe serve. Maybe that's what we need to define what serve means. It's not if your husband won't finish his ham sandwich. That was one of the phone calls on the 911 operators list. Let's take a quick break here and then the news with Rob Martier. I see what you did there. Executive producer Michael Heidemann, you're playing the police. Who are you going to call? Don't call the police. See, now, if there was something for every single thing that bothered you, like the Ghostbusters, right? Who are you going to call? You're going to call the ghost. You have a ghost problem, right? If you have, these people are annoying me. And by the way, for our, again, I want to go back to this family in California. Esmeralda, here's another question for everybody on the show. Have you ever had the cops called on you needlessly? Have the cops ever shown up because you did something that someone thought was breaking the rules or breaking the law?
No, not for me.
Yes, Michael. Same here. Probably not.
Me neither, except for that time. There might have been a party I had when I was in grad school that went too loud. And I, you know, rightfully so, the police were called because we were, that's a disturbance. That is, that was unnecessary on our part. And we had gotten a little bit loud. And I think that was warranted, as it were. So I'm going to go ahead and say that those folks were right. And I apologized to them the next day. I apologized to the police officers and they went on their way.
That was really nice of you. You apologized to the police officers.
I did. Because
I'm sorry for being loud.
Well, because what a ridiculous and needless use of their time.
Yeah.
Right? They have more important things to do. We are always concerned about the crime and things going on in this city, and they have more important things to do than a college party that got too loud. I mean, I'm sure that in Champaign, Urbana, and all of our college towns around the country, the cops are called pretty regularly disturbances, and they don't need that. But there are more ridiculous reasons out there that people have. By the way, we had a listener text into us for a ridiculous reason that someone called the cops. 312-981-7200. The most ridiculous reasons you've ever heard of that the police were called, that or first responders. Let me find this one again from the 815, someone writes that we locally had a woman call 911 and asked if a police officer could stop at a local gas station to pick up milk for her. So, you know, this seems, again, there are other services. Now there's like Instacart. Maybe this was before Peapod. There are now, you need a gallon of milk, you can now take care of that problem by calling somebody else or getting an app. You know what there is? There is an app for that. Maybe before you call the police, if you have, you know, clearly it's not life-threatening, you have a couple seconds to Google that. Should I call the police for this stupid reason? That's just an idea I have. There's no reason not to know anything. There are several websites where 911 dispatchers and operators have placed some of their stories. One dispatcher had a drunk person call to report that he was being harassed. Turns out he was being arrested by the officers for throwing pizza at people. And all the dispatcher could hear in the background was one of the officers saying, "That better not be our dispatcher on the phone," followed by some muffled talking and the officer taking the phone and saying, "He'll be taking a ride with us now." So the dispatcher still laughing about that to this day. I bring this up because, look, there's a lot of conversation about why white people call the police on black people. It seems as though it plays a role in this, but it also seems as though, look, if it really was the charcoal, let's go with the idea that this woman in California who was so adamant that this family should not be barbecuing with charcoal is, and again, to our listeners' concern that it's California, but it was also on the lakefront. I don't know about the fire season in California or Oakland in particular. Like, there is fire season here, right? But no one, I don't think anyone's getting arrested on the beach for using charcoals in their barbecue, because we're in Chicago, right? There's a kind of a whole system in place. This was near condos and apartments, and it looked to me from the shots that it was a bit of a water area. I don't know if it was a harbor. Yeah, Michael, I don't think that we have people getting. I mean, I could be wrong. I should look up the files in Chicago and see how many people are arrested for charcoal fires.
I've seen. I kind of live near the lake, and I see charcoal fires every single week. Hundreds of people doing it, and I've never seen. And police walking straight on by.
Right.
Never getting arrested.
Interesting. I wonder if they know Well, I don't know if it's against the law or not. 312-981-7200. We're talking about the stupidest reasons why people call 911. Had a lady trying to call an ambulance because she opened a package from Amazon at home and she was afraid that her kid was about to have a major allergic reaction from the packing peanuts. See where this is going, Esmeralda? They were packing peanuts in the box. So she was worried that her son, who has an allergy to peanuts, might develop an allergic reaction to the packing peanuts. He hadn't developed an allergic reaction, and also they're not real peanuts. As you want, do you sometimes just want to like just sit in a 911 dispatcher's office, like in the call room, and just see hear these come in?
I would like to go to the people's houses and then just yell at them.
Oh my gosh! Couldn't we just have like a branch of the stupid police?
Yeah, can we just have the ones where then you go over there and you go, "Why are you calling?"
Yeah. It's kind of like if you call 311, right, and they sort of send you to another center. Like if 911 could go, hold on a second, I have the right department for you, and it's the stupid police, right? And the police have to come out.
There you go.
They have to police the stupid people. I know, it doesn't sound kind, but still, come on. Hey, Katrina, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I was just listening to the show and thought I would call in and share something quite ridiculous.
You have a weird...
I heard on Live PD.
On what PD?
On the show called Live PD.
Okay.
It's every Friday and Saturday night on A&E.
And what's the weirdest one?
Okay, so this is like a rerun that I was watching, and the police were called to somebody's house because they could see their Christmas lights across the yard. They thought their Christmas tree was too bright.
Oh, see, and exactly. See, these are the kinds of calls we're talking about, Katrina.
Like, that's ridiculous. Like, the police and the first responders, you know what? They have way more important things to be doing than going to somebody's house and seriously, just because somebody's Christmas lights are too bright?
Right.
Really? No.
Well, now, Katrina, so our listener brings up an interesting point again about the charcoal fires, mm-hmm. right, in that area. There's no charcoal allowed. So let's say you had a neighbor in a condo, right, and the rule is that you can't have lights, or in a community, the lights aren't allowed to be mm-hmm. over 100 volts, right? Even then, do you think that that's a reason to call the police? If it's a rule,
then probably
really
but
call
then
the
again,
police. Well, this is a, oh here here's
but
another
then again probably not because that's just stupid. Like,
so here's my question: like, when you see someone jaywalking, is it against the law to jaywalk?
Yeah.
Right? It's against.
It's against the law to jaywalk. I think so.
Do people always call the police for jaywalkers?
No.
Do people call? Yeah, isn't this weird, Katrina? That as we pull this thread, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things that you could call the police for, I guess. It's either It's either check yourself or call the police for everything, is what I'm.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. So to the listener from the 847 who asked if they weren't breaking the rule, the police wouldn't have been called. But there are so many people that speed out there. If I called the cops every time I saw someone speeding, mm-hmm. that's the rule, isn't it? That's the law. So do I call the police every time I see someone speeding? That would be exhausting.
But they weren't.
That's crazy.
But yeah. In the Oakland story, they weren't breaking the law. They were allowed to use charcoal.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Mm. There you go.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
Okay.
Thanks, Katrina. Have a great evening.
You're welcome. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let me take a quick break here, and we've got some texts coming in. So, from the 847, apparently that's not what happened. Before I go to the break, let's see. The police were called because my husband was mowing the lawn after drinking a beer. He stopped halfway through mowing and drank a beer. He was mowing the rest of the lawn when the police came. The police said his riding mower was a motorized vehicle, and he had to do a sobriety test. What? But who called the cops on the guy on the rider mower? Or was the... What?
Was he swerving? What was like...
they could tell the lines in the lawn were problematic. So there... And then there's another one. Did I lose this one? In high school, we were kicked a friend outside as we waited for pizza. He was yelling for pizza. The cops got called over... about a girl screaming. My mom's, yeah. So apparently this, they got in trouble because they were screaming for pizza outside and the cops got called. Again, noise disturbances. I think that there's a line there that you can call the cops on disturbing the peace. That's something that, especially if it's, or if you think someone's in danger because of all the screaming. I don't think there's a pizza danger, but you never know. More in a moment. We got calls from Bill and Carrie on hold. We'll take those when we come back on 720 WGN. We are talking about ridiculous reasons why people call the police. Last week, a Yale grad student called the police on a sleeping Yale grad student who had fallen asleep in the common area of their graduate dorm. And another a woman called these. Now, both times it was white women calling the police on black people. That's kind of what blew up these stories. So the other story was out of Oakland, California. A woman called the police when she discovered that a black family was barbecuing with charcoal. And to the point that both Esmeralda made and the point a listener made, Esmeralda, it is, in fact, against the rules of the park. However, it's not against the law. So if something's against a rule, it does not involve the police because it is, in fact, not breaking the law. So that's that takes care of that conversation. I just looked it up, and that is available online. So you can find that information as well. We have Bill on hold. Hey, Bill, what do you want to tell us about needless calls to the police department?
How you doing, ladies?
Very well, thank you.
In the 90s, people are getting knowing about this is kind of late as far as I'm concerned, because in the 90s, me and my family, we were harassed out of Naperville. Constantly, they were sending the police to our house. I'd be at work, and my kids called me one day, and they were frantic. They said the house was surrounded by police with guns. Some neighbor kid was with my daughter, and they saw in the shed that my sons had some BB rifles that didn't even have BBs, and was sitting in the shed. The little girl ran home and told her mother, and her mother called the police and sent the police to our house and scared my kids to death. I was scared. I'm at work, and my son, I told him to hand the phone out the window to the cop. And I was scared. I had to end up sending one of my sons to the shed to let him see that the guns was in there. It was cobwebs all over the guns. And it was a constant thing. I could look forward to at least once a month the police would be sent to my house for no apparent reason whatsoever. And I knew then I learned that was just a form of harassment, because the police would have to show up if someone would call. And then here you got your neighbors thinking there's something wrong with you because, you know, the police are constantly at your house. And, you know, it was just a form of harassment. And I guess we became the target of this one lady and her group of friends that didn't have nothing to do during the day.
Wow.
So I was so glad to eventually get out of Naperville. I went up and moved my, you know. It was a lot of stress relief to get out of that neighborhood, you know. I loved the house. My kids loved going to school there. But, man, the neighbors didn't want me there, and they ran my ass out of there.
Bill, that's heartbreaking.
Hey, could I ask you, though? What,
yes.
You know, you think about that little kid, Tamir Rice, in Cleveland. Somebody called and said he had a gun.
Right.
And I just wonder, how does that person feel, knowing that them police came there, shot that little child, 12 years old or something, shot him, killed him, and he had a toy gun? I wonder how that person felt that called them cops, you know, on him. I believe that was the same thing he ended up. I believe what happened to him was the same thing.
He had a toy gun because somebody saw a black boy in the park with a gun,
I believe they knew that kid didn't have no real gun. They knew that, and I wonder how do they live with themselves today, knowing that they had that child murdered like that.
Right, because
they knew he didn't have no real gun.
Right, because we don't know the whole story. And in your situation, here are your neighbors who don't want you there for whatever reason, and they put your. But here's the thing, too, Bill, and you must have thought of this many times. That neighbor put your life, your family's lives in danger every single time the police were called because she didn't like you.
Because, and she was, I guess what she was betting on was that eventually, you know, I would, you know, go off or something and have a bad reaction to, you know, them constantly harassing me like that. And because eventually me and the police did have words, and then, you know, what became then, the police would then come by my house every night and flash their light up in my window. That's every night around about 12 o'clock. I'd hear the squad car would come, and the lights would flash up in the house, you know, just like, you know, we're mad at what you said to us. But I was tired of the constant harassment, the constant police, and they would know that they knew where the calls were coming from and stuff, you know.
Bill, I have to say, you have a much better sense of humor about this than I would have at this point. It sounds like you've come to peace with the fact that you were driven out of your neighborhood by a crazy neighbor.
Yeah, it was just so long ago. I even wrote a little book on the little pamphlet on, you know, how black people are supposed to exist when moving into a white neighborhood. Because one thing, you know, like white people take grass cutting serious. And if you come there and you're not cutting that grass, but you can be, better believe you're going to have police at the door all the time.
Yeah, you know how you take care of that? Just fill it with flowers. Take care of that. Just make it all wild. That's what one of my neighbors does. It's all wildflowers on their front lawn. Bill, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank
you
so much. All right, you too. Thank you so much, sir. Let's take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And it's this rainy evening in our beautiful city, which means good things because that's what how the beautiful flowers continue to bloom. And, I kind of like the rain. As you get sleepy when it rains, because I do not want to get out of bed. I don't want to take the covers off.
No, I don't mind the rain. I actually find it very calming.
You find it very calming? That's good.
Yeah.
The sort of when there's hail, is that calming?
I mean, like today I saw the hail and I found it more interesting because they're just like little tiny ice things. But yeah, no, I don't mind it too much. I mean, as long as you're inside and or have an umbrella.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
rain boots.
I jumped into my car. I was running an errand and I'm wearing kind of a flowy dress and I jumped in my car and started to drive. And when I arrived at my destination, I realized I had closed the door on my dress and drove with it half out of the car. So it was drenched in that's a good feeling when you arrive and realize, oh, I don't know how to pull my life together. We have some interesting texts coming up, and I wanted to get to the 630-776 text because this is getting interesting. They're very upset with us, Esmeralda, about they're saying that I'm race baiting, having this conversation about the frivolous phone calls on last week's. We're focused on frivolous calls in regards to black people, and this listener wants me to know that even though black people only make up 7% of the population, they commit over half of the crimes. Those numbers are not accurate, but if they are, I would love to see the citations for that. So I have sent him some information from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has a study done by the Justice Department. So I kind of do rely. I mean, the Justice Department seems like a valid source, but he says that he's not going to. He asked me to hold on for his sources since I am not in the mood to have sex with my girlfriend anymore. I happen to have time, and she's not happy with this show either. So that's very specific and personal. So I have disrupted someone's nookie for the evening.
Is that girlfriend deflated? Is that why?
Emotionally or physically? Let's go to our listeners who are calling about frivolous phone calls. So this is in part the conversation about what happened to the Yale student and the black family and the black father that was walking his baby in a stroller. The cops are called on all of them for frivolous reasons. But I think the problem inherent in all of this, though, is calling the police department needlessly, frivolously, for reasons that are absurd, taking up the time of the men and women who are there to serve and protect, who are there to save our lives if need be. And Carrie, you have a story to share with us.
I do, and I'm nominating myself for stupidest reasons to ever have to call the police department. In the last 8 months, I've had to call the police on a possum and a goose.
What? You called the police department on a possum and a goose?
I did. Now, I will say I did not call 911. I called non-emergency. I'm not that stupid. And the first thing I said to him is, I feel like such an idiot for calling you, but I have no choice.
Okay.
Now, the backstory, I'm an overnight courier. I have to get into offices and get these packages out and back in. And the first time there was a possum laying right in front of the door where I needed to be, and he wouldn't move. My helpful boss says, well, you're going to have to call the police. You have to get in that office. So it took this poor officer 20 minutes. He was trying to throw things in front of the possum, trying to throw them at the possum. That possum was not having it. He was blocking the entire doorway. He finally had a stick that he started pounding on the ground and screaming, running toward him, and the possum took off.
Oh, what did this police officer, first of all, what did the police officer say when he arrived on the scene and realized that this was the situation he had been summoned for?
Well, he was great about it. He said, you know, we don't have animal control that works overnight. This particular case was in Hickory Hills. he said, you'd be surprised with all the woods. We get a lot of wildlife calls. This is not the most absurd call I've been on.
Okay.
And I felt like a moron. But the next one's even better. I wish I had videotaped it.
Oh, no.
There was a goose had laid an egg in a planter outside of an office building, and I needed to get into a lockbox, except Daddy Goose was posted guard. I'm not fighting with a goose. I don't make that much money. So I told my boss, and my boss said, you're going to have to call the police. I said, come on, you're going to get me arrested.
Oh, no.
This was in Lyle.
Why isn't your boss
out?
I feel like your boss needs to show up and call the police so that you're not always the one standing there like, hi, officer, there's wildlife.
I am a jerk.
It sounds like you're not, but go ahead. Okay, so the two officers arrive.
Yes. The first one, female officer, she was talking to the goose, trying to get the goose to move. Second officer had a tranquilizer gun. He was covering me, SWAT style, walking me to the box so I could get my packages out. And he was standing there in full ready mode, covering me so I could get these packages. And the other officer got the goose toward the parking lot. No sooner did I grab my stuff and run back to my car, that goose wanted nothing more. He took off, flew right back over the officer's head, and went right back to where he was. Like, forget you.
Forget you. Wow, that is amazing that you were able to, first of all, summon the police. They're so good-natured about it because it happens enough. And I'm glad that it worked out that way. I mean, is there not a number to call? Is there not like they have certain hours when it comes to wildlife.
Yeah, and I work overnights. So they're both towns' animal control only work till 5 o'clock. So after 5 o'clock, and like I said, I did not call 911. I looked up the non-emergency number, called the non-emergency number, explained it, prefaced it with, I feel like such an idiot. I hate to waste your time for this, but I have to be here because our clients are going to say, well, you got to get them. But the goose time, I did call my boss and say, these are getting taken to another office and you can pick them up in the morning because I am not calling the police again for a goose because I think they'll tranquilize me at this point.
No kidding. You're like, I have to go with some sort of a wildlife equipment in order to manage these situations from now on.
No kidding. I said, well, I have mace in my car. Should I mace the goose? And I said, no, because that'll make them mad.
Well, I wonder, I guess you could Google like best, like the treats that geese like, or like, so throw it in the opposite direction, like for the possum, things that they like keep those snacks in your pockets. I don't know if that would help.
Well, when a goose is protecting an egg, you could put the hottest female goose. I mean, I don't know what geese like. But you could put anything in front of them. They're not going to move because they have one job, and that's to keep those eggs safe.
Yeah, that's true. They are very protective. Interesting. Well, Carrie, I'm glad that the officers were kind and patient with you.
So am I, and that's the only two times I've had to call the police in my life.
Well, that's a good thing. You've been lucky. Take care.
I have.
Thank you, Carrie.
Have a great night.
There you go. Have a good night. Thank you. Here's Chris, who has this is an interesting problem. You're right about this, Chris. What are your thoughts on calling the police, not only needlessly, but for something that's even more nefarious?
Well, to start off with, you know, that's the reason I don't wear a dress to work either. So I'm with you with that. Swatting is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard of, the most dangerous thing I've ever heard of. And you're going to sit back and watch and laugh when a SWAT team surrounds a house and has somebody come out, and God forbid, there's already been people that were killed by it.
Yes, in Missouri, and actually this happened over online because I guess you can, I don't know if this, it was a game, it was a bunch of gamers. They were taunting each other. They'd gotten into an argument, and one of the gamers sent the police to another gamer's house. Like, it wasn't even somebody who lived in the same area, called the police, and the people in the house refused to come out. And it was in Wichita, actually, there was a tragedy. There was somebody who was killed by the police.
Right, over something so stupid that I don't get it. And when we were kids, you would never think of doing that to the police.
Well, and the good news is the gamer from Los Angeles was arrested and faces felony charges in Wichita. The Wichita victim was 28-year-old Andrew Finch, who was killed by police who were responding to a residence where they were told a man had killed his father and was holding his mother and brother hostage. So a gamer made that phone call, said, hey, this guy just killed his dad and he's holding these people hostage. Because the family was afraid they didn't come out, or however the kid responded, they then killed him.
There was another instance, too, where it was... they came into the house and the guy was yelling, well, what are you here for? What? There's nothing wrong. And they were yelling for him to get on the ground and, again, senselessly shot him.
Yep.
You know, but then you get someone else who calls up and, you know, Mr. Jones can't find his pants because he's intoxicated. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it's scary. And that's kind of this conversation is... People are using 911, as our friend earlier, Bill, was saying. There was a neighbor using it to harass him. They were using our resources, right? The men and women that we asked to put their lives on the line, we're using them to carry out these grudges, to somehow also protect us from our fears, right? That's why a lot of people call the police if they're afraid of somebody, whether it's because they're black or they suspect something, somebody seems like they're suspicious. We're afraid, and I get that, right? Here's the thing, right, Chris? You also would hate to be wrong about somebody when your instincts are up, but that's when you feel like your life is in danger. But all these other reasons are it should be something that we prosecute and fine
it
people
should
for.
Be a monetary fine, a minimum of $100 if it's just a stupid call because you feel like this person's music's too loud, you don't like the way this person's cutting their grass. I mean, there should be some kind of a fine. You shouldn't just be told, well, just get over it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or you don't do that again. It shouldn't just be a wagging of the finger. It should definitely carry a bigger penalty than that. Wow.
And a lot of that would stop.
I agree. Thank you so much for calling, Chris. I appreciate it.
Have a great show, Patty.
Have a great night. Thank you. The 630 is really angry at me. He's like, you almost gave out my number. No, I didn't give out your number. Almost. Doesn't count. We had this conversation on Facebook, too, where people want to be jerks and come after me. Do you put them on blast? I'm not going to give out your phone number.
I know that 630 is a lot of people's beginnings of area codes?
I did the next three numbers just to let him know. Just to let him know. And the reason I do that is to let you all know we have your number. So if you want to be jerky and come after me and accuse me of something, we're going to dance. I'm not going to give out your phone number. I'm not going to give out your number on the air. Here's the thing, though. If I could take screenshots, I could submit these to somebody. You know, when you join the conversation, it's just like calling in. People, maybe you don't call because you don't want to have the conversation, or it's easier to be behind your keyboard, or your girlfriend's mad at you because you're not having sex tonight. But you've joined the conversation. You've put yourself out there publicly. This is the same thing as being on Facebook. So I love when people join the conversation. But if you're going to hide behind your screen and constantly send things that are just being accusatory and not join the conversation, call 630. If you're that mad, call us. We'll have the conversation and talk about it. You don't like the sources that I use from the Southern Poverty Law Center or the other one which their study, their numbers, though, are from the Justice Department. So your issue is with the Justice Department. So if you don't think that those numbers are worthwhile, then we're done having the conversation. That's it. I've shared mine. I shared my sources. Where's yours? More after this on 720 WGN. We are talking about frivolous phone calls to police departments, to 911. It's not just police department. When you call 911, you might get you might need the fire department. You might need an ambulance. So I want to make sure that we get to all these calls and to the texts. But to the 847. In regards to the goose, technically the police officer who responded to her goose call should have called the Illinois DNR or local wildlife agency to deal with it as well, since he or she wasn't legally allowed to move the animal as well. I think this was pretty off hours. That's what our listener was saying, that the wildlife facilities were not open at the time. And again, from the 847, just wanted to let you know the wild goose caller did do the right thing. So there you go, Carrie. You did the right thing, since geese are federally protected and protected on the state level in Illinois. If she physically or otherwise had removed the goose herself, she would have been committing a felony. Wow. There you go. I mean, wouldn't you hate to be in jail, Ez? And everyone's like, what are you in for? I knifed my landlord. I killed my boyfriend. What are you in for? I moved to geese. I moved to goose. Geese. I don't even know.
It's hardcore.
That is some hardcore stuff. You do not want to be in jail right next to the person who cut off the tags from their mattress. It's federally. somebody. That's Dobie Maxwell's joke. I remember that from a long time ago. He said that, would you hate being in jail for that one? So there we go for those, a couple of texts. Let me see if I wanted to make sure I got to all the texts for, oh, there was one I saw. My friend called the police to catch her cat inside her house so she could take the cat to the vet. You know, like cats don't like going in that carrier. They, I mean, that's not an easy job. You have to make that choice. Do you try to get them through the door, or do you take the cat carrier into two parts and close it on top of them? How do you get your cat into your cat carrier? Do you use a cat carrier?
Yeah, I just, I unfortunately have to turn it on its side.
Right.
I kind of dump her in there.
Yeah, you got to get from above. You got to drop her from above. Yeah.
I don't drop her, but
no,
you know,
I know what you mean.
I get her as close to the door and then just shove her butt.
Lower her into the...
Yeah.
Because they'll put all their claws on all the corners of the door.
Oh, and on you.
Yes.
So, there's yeah.
You take your life in your own hands. Let me see what we have. We have, there was, wait, I'm trying to find the ones. No, not that, not that. Nope, not that. Nope. There was one, somebody had called the police because a man was using the women's bathroom. So that seems like a frivolous call to the police department. We have Mary who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Mary, what do you want to say about frivolous phone calls to the police department?
Well, I was just going to say that my boys very kindly for Christmas gave me an Apple Watch. And I'm sitting there one night shortly after Christmas playing with it, trying to determine all the functions. And I dialed 911 and my phone rang. And this officer said, ma'am, is there an emergency? And I said, oh, I am so sorry. My boys gave me this gift for Christmas. He said, ma'am, maybe you should read the directions.
Oh my God.
And I said, I am so sorry. But then 2 nights ago, out in my front lawn, is this young man standing there. And he's looking real nervous, and my dogs are barking and going crazy. And I'm 5 minutes away from calling the police, and I look down, and he's still there, and he's looking kind of shifty. And the next thing I know, my neighbor's daughter pulls in. He's got a sign. He's asking her to prom.
Aww.
And I said, Lily, are you okay? And she said, oh, Mrs. Dave, I'm going to prom.
Aw.
So, well, I guess I'm on both sides of the law.
There you go. Well, stay out of trouble, Mary. That's all we asked for.
We try here in Lyle. We try.
I know. Oh, it's good folks out in Lyle. Have a good night, Mary. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me get Bill on the line. Bill, thank you so much for holding on for a while. What do you want to tell us?
Yeah, I would probably be with some of these people calling about the neighbors, calling the police the way they cut the grass and that. I live in the city here. The neighbors would probably call me all the time because I'm totally blind. I cut my own grass and do my own trimming.
Oh, so wait, they call the police on you because you're called?
No, I said they probably would.
They probably would.
You know, they probably would. If I lived in some old suburb, they'd probably call me because I'm totally blind. I cut my own grass.
You do, yeah.
I do my own trimming.
They'd be worried about you out there. Yeah, like the guy on the rider mower who was drinking while riding and cutting his grass. Yeah, you got to stay out of trouble there, Bill.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Right.
Thank you, thank you. Hey, Judy, what do you want to tell us?
Okay, one night it was really late because the Thorntons way further down from where I live didn't put their iced vanilla Long Johns out, and I wanted to surprise my son. So here I am driving at night, and thunk, I ran over a skunk.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I had never hit an animal before. And I'm driving, I'm crying, I go get his stuff. I come back, it's still, nobody had driven over it since I hit.
Since you had hit it.
I pulled to the side street, I called the police department, and I explained that I felt like a murderer. I was crying. And so they sent out this officer. And he put on double purple gloves, and he said, this better be dead. I said, oh, it is dead. It's definitely dead.
Because he didn't want to get sprayed? Do you think that was why he was hoping it would be dead?
or bit.
Oh, like sure. This, yeah, good point.
This is more than going above, you know, support and protect, urban protect. And
oh, yeah.
The date already had changed to October 31st, and he threw it, and it landed on a sidewalk where there are businesses open that will do trick-or-treating for kids the next day, and there's this dead skunk just lying on the sidewalk. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, two officers skunk, and I didn't realize that another police person had pulled up, and she was just laughing crazily. I said, oh, I really wish that, you know, I had stopped crying, you know, and then I wasn't going to ask him to move it somewhere else rather than in the middle of a busy sidewalk. And, you know, it would have made a great picture for the local paper.
Wow.
You know.
Well, I guess once in a while, I'm glad they had a good laugh. I guess once in a while, it must be a breath of fresh air to be called on something that isn't dangerous or no one's hurt. I mean, I'm so sorry for the poor skunk. But on the other hand, right?
I felt so bad. I've come close to a deer.
Right.
But we all can't read the crossing signs.
Right.
And, you know, I just... That's what's out here.
Yeah.
They were here first.
Well, I know, but Judy, you're okay. And if it happens, it wasn't something you did intentionally. It's just, you know, that's the, you know, the price of us imposing on nature. We're going to get in each other's way once in a while. So Judy, next time, I guess call. He was so sweet. I know. It sounds like he was. Judy, have a great night. I've got to run to the break. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you, Judy. Love you, too. More after this on 720 WGN. Over the last week, police officers have been summoned to a scene for reasons that were frivolous and had a lot of racial overtones. And I, as much as this is partly a conversation about that, I think it comes from this perception that the police department is there to take care of your annoyances, these things that bother you. You're bothered that someone's breaking the rule, not the law, by using charcoal at a park. You're annoyed that there is a black woman you don't recognize falling asleep in the common area of your dorm. You're annoyed because there's a black man with a stroller. That one I'm not quite understanding at all from Washington, D.C. This is a story that happened today. And I think that as much as there's a conversation there, which is obviously complicated and has a lot to it, and experiences that I don't personally have. I've when I get pulled over, Michael, have you ever been pulled over for a traffic stop? Like, you know, no turn on red, or speeding?
You've been pulled over.
About how long would you say the process takes for the officer? First of all, it's a bad feeling because you know you've broken the law,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've been busted.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes to have that happen. About, what would you say, give or take, is the amount of time is spent as they're running your driver's license and they're writing up the ticket?
Probably about 15 to 30 minutes tops,
right.
Absolute tops. Yeah.
And that was the thing. I was timing that video with a Yale student when she was, when the police officers arrived. It took 17 minutes for them to decide everything was okay. 17 minutes for a woman who was sleeping in her own building,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like you said, 15 minutes to 30 minutes for a traffic stop when you actually did break the law, were doing something that was me as well. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking 10 to 20 minutes for a traffic stop. Right. So the problem is, I think we are using the police department in ways that we shouldn't be. And it lends itself to these moments that are then even worse. And black people have to worry about whether or not this escalates into a tragic situation. And as we've been talking about with Bill, who mentioned where he lived in Naperville, with many cases that we can talk about throughout the country. But anytime the police are called, and the swatting story in Wichita where someone was killed because somebody, a gamer from Los Angeles, called the police and erroneously and illegally reported that somebody had killed another person and then was holding others hostage. Now, there are some silly stories that people are calling police for. Here's one. Our friend Tom said that, hey, gang, I once played a private party gig that turned out to be a swinger party. The bar was closed to the public and someone in the neighborhood called the cops. They showed up and shut it down. Still got paid. There you go.
Wait, did the people call the cops because they were mad that the bar was closed?
Or were they mad because it was a swingers party? A swingers party? Wait, are swingers parties illegal? I mean, I'm not asking. I'm asking for a friend.
I would think not.
I don't know.
Because they're not. They're just...
having fun?
Right. They're just...
it's consensual.
Doing stuff in there. Mm-hmm. That, also, how can you look in? You'd think they would block up the windows.
They probably, you know, there was a rumor or the story got out. By the way, someone texts from the 630, people need to mind their own business and pick their battles. Yes, that's kind of the conversation that I think. It's so bizarre. We moved into our house about 6 years ago. And the first night my wife swore she heard screaming coming from the house down the hill and called the police. Turns out she was right about the screaming. It was coming from a couple of red foxes fighting. That is a rough way to introduce yourself to the cops and to the neighbors. The 630, I do hope you get some rest and no hard feelings. It was interesting to have a conversation with you, and we shall have more conversations in the future. Please feel better. The from the 773, naked 60-year-olds are no fun to have. This is from Tom. No, the naked 60-year-olds were no fun, no matter how good. I think that many 30-year-olds are not naked. 30-year-olds might also not be fun, or 40-year-olds. There's a lot of naked people I don't need to see. Almost all of them. I have a short list of naked people that I would like to see, and we won't get into that. Let's talk to Victor. I'm sorry to jump on the phone with you on that note, Victor. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. In fact, I'm getting more lectures now because based on all my experiences in the city over the years.
Our resident historian, yes, Victor?
Yeah. As a young boy, 16 years old, the Irish policeman would kind of give the Italian boys in the neighborhood a little bit more of a kick in the rear end when they did something wrong. That was common. We accepted it. But I've had incidents all the time. I had a Starbucks 3 years ago accused of stealing the newspaper. I wrote to the president of the company, and I argued with the manager. He said, I'll call the police. I walked out, and the lady standing there, she said, Victor, they're Elder Fulbuck, you're an older person. So I wrote to the president and called and everything. They gave me $10 worth of coffee coupons, so it cost me $17. But a year and a half ago, going to the university, listened to the lecture 8 a.m. It's raining. I put my books under the jackets outside of the college, going with the younger people, mixed people. Put your hands up in the air, sir. What are you carrying under your jacket? What do you got there? I said, what do you mean? Are you kidding me? I said, no. I'd put my hands up, take the jacket, identification, et cetera, et cetera. Why are you going here? What are you doing? 10 minutes. I should have filed against them, but that's the way it is, you know, and simple as that. And it happens all the time. Growing up Italian-American, I took out a lady on the North Shore 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Please stop me walking 4 blocks. I don't know. I said, that's your job. Please stop me. Here's my ID. And next time they saw me, they waved to me. You got to understand all avenues of the business. But what's happening on the other end is an incident happened a few days ago, and nobody would call the police. Not afraid to get involved. And a driver was beating up a young lady in the car, and the driver got out and threatened 3 people.
Wow.
Now the police are going the other end, so you got to look at the whole story. When I tell people that I was redline, coming out of Roosevelt University, do you know anything about Roosevelt?
A little bit, just right down here, downtown. Right,
yeah,
off,
but
right,
you
off
know
Congress.
About the history of Roosevelt?
I'm sure you have something to tell me about it.
One of my first early jobs when I came out of Roosevelt University asked me if I was a communist.
Oh, really?
They were very socialistic. They started because the other colleges would not admit blacks or Jews. Steve Start or Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt was there. And at Roosevelt, I was with a mixture. Many of your black politicians went to Roosevelt University. So coming out on one of my first job interviews, lady on the side asked me if I was a communist or socialist. And I said, I understand they were very liberal. This is, but I think in a way it's good. You grow up, you understand. And I, when I was teaching classes at Chicago, I took the kids to a neighborhood going through gang problems, and mm-hmm. I had them talk with the woman who had barbed wire around her house and everything. That was in West Humboldt Park in the 70s.
Wow. So you have such great stories there, Victor. I always appreciate
but
you
I think, but I think today and now, I've had a few people, I came and lectured a couple of churches, and they said, this has happened to you? This has happened? I said, of course it has. I said, do you ever hear the term Ponzi scheme? I said, that's an Italian name. I said, that's a stereotype. I said, there's people stolen billions today. But, you know, I'm just trying to get the people together, better understanding. And I'm mixed up. I've had classes on black studies, and there are students that said, we don't want you in this class.
Wow. Well, you've got a great spirit about it, Victor, and I appreciate you sharing your story. You have a lovely evening. Bless you, and I will talk to you again soon, my friend. More after this on 720 WGN. What really happened to the Malaysian Flight 370? Steve Cochran's got David Curley from ABC News. He's going to be joining Steve Cochran at 7:40 a.m. to discuss. We've been talking about frivolous reasons that people call the police, and I feel as though sometimes, and maybe they're not consciously doing it, using our police officers, our first responders to sort of execute their own revenge on somebody or to carry out their fears, their rage. But there are many times in this country when people are calling the police needlessly, putting other people in danger when they do so. And sometimes it's something funny. It turns out to be, a situation everyone can laugh at. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's, I think it's infuriating that we're calling the police. Here's an example. There was from the 815. I was a suburban police officer for 35 years. I had parents call me to get their 12-year-old out of bed to go to school. Esmeralda. Parents wanted the police to get their kid. People misunderstand what the function is of the police department. In a few moments after we take the calls and texts, we'll get to the list. You can go to safeb.com. There's a list of why you should call the police. 405, not too long ago, a white lady called the cops on a couple of Native American kids who were invited to take a tour of a college. She felt they didn't belong there. And that's another story that's come out, too. They were quiet. They didn't seem like they were participating. They looked suspicious. And they were just a couple of students who had been invited to take the same tour that she did. But they looked weird to her. So she called the cops on people who looked like they didn't belong. So that's another thing. That's not a reason to call the... Okay, I can't. From Southside Frank. Hey, Southside Frank. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Patty. How's everyone doing?
We're doing very well. Having a really engaged conversation. People are texting and calling, and I love hearing from you. What do you want to tell us?
Years ago, back in 2000, my father had just retired from General Motors. And he bought a brand new Chevy truck from a Chevrolet dealership here in Illinois. I won't name it, for reasons of, liability.
Sure, sure.
And an agency, and I won't name the agency, but I'll just give you the proximity, around 105th and Cicero Avenue, I was stopped because someone called the police and told them that there was a possible suspect with a stolen automobile leaving out of the parking lot of this breakfast establishment.
Wow.
Yes. I was, I believe, 20 or 21 then. Mm. And my father was at home. And they actually called it in as a possible grand theft auto. Meanwhile, Patty, I had the purchase papers, copies of the purchase papers, to the automobile, showing that my father purchased the vehicle. And the credit union gave him the money. He wanted to know what I was doing with it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and don't you know, just recently with that Malibu I bought from another Chevrolet dealership, back here the other year, last year, I was stopped by an agency. And the first thing the gentleman said, Patty, was, Frank, is this your car? I said, yes, sir, it is. And don't you know, we were like maybe 30 feet from the dealership. He said I was a little bit over the speed limit and he was concerned.
Oh, dear.
But the first question he asked me was,
is this your car, Frank? Yeah.
And I said, out here, sir, I wouldn't be out here if this wasn't my vehicle.
Wow.
And he said, oh, okay, well, I said, no, I'll give you a copy of the purchase papers, because the first thing I did the week I picked it up, Patty, was I ran right over to Office Depot and I made copies of all the purchase papers so I wouldn't have to go through this. But it's funny to me, 16 years later or 17 years later, I was asked the same question when stopped by certain agencies. So this is something that happens on a regular. And it even happened when my mother bought her Buick LaCrosse. I took it out again in the 105th and Cicero area because it was purchased at a certain dealership in that little township. And a gentleman asked me, is this your vehicle, sir? I said, no, sir, it's my mother's vehicle. She just purchased it.
Right.
I said, but the dealership manager is right by if you would like to talk to him. Oh, no, no, that's okay. That's okay. You have a good day, sir.
Huh. See, and I, again, going through my mind, and I make the comparison to the calls that were made last week on the student at Yale and the family at having a barbecue. One, I know I've done things in places that I shouldn't be doing. By the way, being nude in a forest preserve, also illegal, and I never got in trouble for that. That's too much information for Michael. Michael didn't need to know that. But but Frank, Southside Frank, I will say I've been pulled over. Let's say I've been pulled over at least, I would say at least 8 times. I can go through and think all the times I try to fight the ticket. I don't remember a single time a police officer asked me, is this your vehicle? I mean, and maybe that's standard, I don't know if that's what they ask other people, but I can't remember ever being asked that question. Michael, off the top of your head, can you remember, Michael, if you've ever been asked, is this your vehicle, when you've been pulled over for a moving violation?
I've never been asked that.
No. Okay,
I didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't want to confirm that. I mean, but I also think that, don't they, when they pull you over and they run the plates, they usually have the name of the driver, right? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, one, Southside Frank, why this isn't getting better. And that's why we continue to have the conversations. And when people get resistant and angry, that's the part I want to work past. That they, like, somehow when I talk to you, Frank, and you tell your story genuinely, authentically, there's somebody out there right now getting mad. And I don't know why that is. I really wish I could understand why they can't hear you and understand your side of the story.
Well, what it is, Patty, for the most part, is, oh, you're making everything about race.
Right.
No, I'm not making it about race. I'm speaking about what has happened to me on several occasions. Now, maybe, and one time in another, near LaGrange, where I work, another local agency, the young man, he asked me, what's out here, man? What you doing out here so late? Work uniform on and everything. I said, do you know where Electromotive is? What's that? I said, oh, okay, you don't know. I said, that's the train manufacturing plant that's around the corner from here. I've been working out here almost 11 years.
Right.
You never heard of this place? No, man, I'm from the northwest suburbs. I said, okay, that's why you don't know. I said, that's what I'm doing out here.
Right.
That's another question that you get asked, too. What's out here?
Right. What's out here?
What's going on around
here? What are you doing over here?
Yeah, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this is what this is what I would like people. I think maybe do you think, Southside Frank, do you think that when the people get mad hearing us talk about this because they don't want to think they've done anything wrong, even though we're not talking about them, we're sharing your story, right? The part here is to listen.
People have to talk about this because they don't want to make it seem like, well, it's not me. It seems like they feel like they're being attacked.
Yes.
It's not me, man. I'm not like that.
Right.
They feel like you're categorizing them with everybody else, and that's not the case.
No, we're not trying to.
You're telling your side of the story and what has happened, you know, over the years.
Well, and that's
I've had this happen several times.
Right. And I, you know, when I mentioned that it's been white women for the most part who've made these phone calls in the last week, all three of the people that called the police on black individuals were white women. So I have to ask, you know, I'm not, I do something? Is there, what is it about because I'm Latina, but I look white, you know? So I have to ask, what are we doing? Why are we, but I don't feel like I want to get defensive. I want to know how we can make this better for people. That should be the goal, is to not, you know, to not feel as though you're being attacked, but that we're trying to have these conversations and work on it rather than going to our corners and being mad at each other.
Right, absolutely right. Well, what it is with most of my white friends, and I've learned this over time, some of them get offended because, okay, well, you're bringing this to me. I've never done anything to you.
Right.
I will never do anything like that to you. Why are you bringing this to me? And
right.
I believe that upsets a lot of people.
Well,
you know, and my thinking is along the lines of what you're thinking. Let's talk about this so we can make it better.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. Let's bring attention to the fact that these things go on.
Right.
And they have gone on.
Yeah. Let's keep talking about it. That's all we're asking.
Right. So your solution works very well. It really does. But one thing I also have to say is, as a black person, you better practice self-control. You better practice self-control and mind your manners. Yeah, it might be upsetting for you to get stopped. But do you want to get shot to death because you're getting upset and angry, and then that guy or that girl is getting defensive? Oh, okay, he's about to attack me. I need to defend myself.
Right.
You really have to mind yourself and mind how you feel. Yeah, you might be upset, but you have to control your attitude and control how you feel. Some people may not like that, but I plan on coming home to Bryson Rhonda every night.
You better.
Not going to the morgue.
You better.
Not going to the morgue.
Southside Frank, thank you.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
I'm in my house right now.
All right.
Telling you all this story.
I'm glad you're home. Be well. Kiss your family for me. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Will do, Patty.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I swear I'm going to get to this list about when you should call the police. 312-981-7200. We continue to take your calls. It's been a great conversation. It is time now for our news, for which I am late. We are talking about frivolous and ridiculous phone calls to 911 when people try to use our first responders to for ridiculous, annoying things in their lives. Maybe they're afraid of something. We were also talking to Southside Frank about a couple times, more than once, when he's been pulled over and he's been asked if the car was his. Michael and I noted that neither of us in the police stops, traffic stops that we've been involved in, we've never been asked if the vehicle was ours. And we were commenting on that. A listener from the 847 says cops are paid to be nosy. Bad guys sometimes wear uniforms like a disguise. Cops sometimes ask questions for which they know the answer, can help gauge demeanor. I don't know if they're paid to be nosy. They certainly are trained to be observant and to gather information and to be proactive in a situation. So I appreciate that perspective from the 847. Tracy wanted to join the conversation because we're about to get into the reasons that you do call the police. Hey, Tracy, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, how you doing? How are you?
I'm well. I'm enjoying this conversation. I think we're learning a lot about each other.
Oh, yes. Patty, you know what? I'm enjoying this conversation so much tonight. I had to give you a call, and I was just telling Michael that a person should call the police in the utmost situations, not call 911 in the utmost. It could be a burglary. It could be a domestic that or violence in the household where, for instance, a little kid may be standing nearby, and if it's a knife or a gun involved, call the police at that time. You don't have to do any swatting or anything like that. Just
no.
Call the police, because I agree with one of your callers in regards to swatting. Someone could get seriously hurt.
Oh, no doubt about it. And that, again, the gamer, that was a gamer in Los Angeles who had called the police on, because they can go online, they argue with each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
through these chat rooms and things like that. But they the gamers got mad at each other, and the gamer in California sent the police in Wichita, Kansas, to someone's house. The caller mm-hmm. from Los Angeles said he's murdered the father and he's holding the mother and other child hostage. And that was not the case. And the
right.
gamer in Wichita ended up being shot by police.
Right. Right.
That's
just,
crazy.
That's
crazy.
It's crazy. Just an example right there. You know, Patty, I was just on the west side of Chicago just this past Saturday along Cicero and Chicago Avenue, just visiting some friends. And there were some young guys on the corner. Young guys couldn't have been no more than maybe between 20 and 25. The police car pulls up, and questions and pulls them over, lined them up, and was checking them for drugs and everything. And they arrested some of the guys, but left some of the young guys alone. And I was overhearing a conversation where one young guy says, oh, man, they're just messing with me because I'm young. They don't give the old people any problems or anything like that. And I told them, it's like this. If you're out here in the open doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. neighbors and everybody else is going to call the police on you. It's what you're doing out here. Don't blame them.
Right. I agree.
You know, because of you know, what you're doing out here. You know, it's better to be somewhere else than not to be seen.
Right.
Than not to be, you know, seen by the police and everything. And, you know, Patty, I just wish society would know that all policemen are not crooks, as it may seem. Because people think they call the police on me because I'm black. They, you know, and all that type of stuff, you know, which is not even the case. And they probably figure where if one policeman is crooked, then all police are crooked. That's why you hear about this stuff on the news and everything about Black Lives Matter and all that type of stuff about the police and everything going on. But, you know, look what happened to Commander Bauer. Commander Bauer was killed in downtown Chicago.
Yep. It was tragic. An awful situation.
Tragic, by that type of stuff. You know, it's like treat our first responders with respect because that's their job, to serve and protect us. It could be police, it could be firemen, any kind of emergency service. Just, you know, treat them with respect.
Well, because every single time they're called to a scene, they don't know what they're going to encounter. And that's right. Impossible for us to even put ourselves in their shoes. So thank you so much for that, Tracy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, because they're dealing, you know, Patty, they're dealing with the public. And as you said, you know, they don't know what to expect from the public. It could be one thing. It could be a non-emergency. But then again, it could be a serious emergency.
Yep, right.
It depends on how we as the public answer them every time when we call them. It's how we respond to them. This is just in our psyche.
Right. Yeah, it plays a big part in that. Have a great night, Tracy. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Good to hear from you too, Patty.
Thank you. Be well. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm doing this list right now, Michael, before taking another break. The list of when you do call the police. One, a fire breaks out. That seems like a no-brainer. Fire, yes, definitely call the police. Even a tiny grease fire in your kitchen merits a 911 call. A fire can grow and spread rapidly, so call right away, even if you think you can put the flames out on your own. That makes sense, because we always think, we don't always have the baking soda right next to the stove. Not everybody's equipped with a fire extinguisher, so call the police. A medical emergency, call 911 for any life-threatening medical conditions. These can include chest pain, choking, difficulty speaking, drowning, numbness, poisoning. So now poisoning, that's a tricky one, because kids put everything in their mouths. And I've had to call for Declan. I recently had to call because my son Declan, who is 12 but intellectually disabled, he got into underneath our sink and he was eating the dishwasher cleaning pellets. They look like these little, they look like candy. Not like the Tide Pods necessarily, but they look like little pieces of candy. And we didn't know how many he had eaten, so we called the poison control. And you can Google it. It's scary, because again, we knew that there were less than 12 in the package, because it comes in like a numbered packet, and there were still like five or six. We didn't know how many we had used, and poison control walked us through that. So, I think some poisonings are obvious, and you call 911. If you have sudden intense pain, severe burns, a suicide threat, and other serious medical problems, those are 911 situations. If you witness a crime, if you see an assault, a burglary, go with your gut feeling. It's better to call for help now than have police call up later to say, if you just mistakenly. But if you know something's happening, call the police. If you're in or see a car crash, call 911, especially if someone is hurt or feels dizzy or unwell. For a fender bender where you're absolutely sure everyone is okay, you can call the police directly.
I don't know if you need to call the police, but a lot of times they just want you to come to the police station and file the paperwork. Here are the reasons not to call the police. Never call 911 for any situation that's clearly not an emergency. But we're talking about, there seem to be a lot of people trying to get your kid out of bed to go to school. Not an emergency. There are some places where it seems a little bit slippery. We're not sure. Like the goose and the possum, apparently our friend Carrie made the right call. Perhaps the unfortunate demise of the skunk, not a reason to call, but now we know, right? Sometimes you don't know till you know. But there are a lot of reasons. Do not call 911 to ask about the weather or current road conditions. Oh my God, please tell me you're not doing this. These are things that the 911, the dispatchers have gotten calls on. Okay, do not call for the number of the local pizza joint, okay? Don't do that. Do not call. Here are other reasons not to call. Apparently, my loud party, while annoying, was not a reason to call the 911 dispatcher, Michael. So I take it back. I now feel badly that they were called because they shouldn't have been called. Although I kind of think that a loud party does. That seems like a, I don't know. It could go either way. Do not call the police for a barking dog. Okay. Can we not? You know, I live next to a police officer who has a canine dog. That dog barks at like, I wouldn't call the police even if.
Are you allowed to call the police on the police for their own barking dog?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that Vinny would be very mad at me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vince has a beautiful canine dog. And then they also have two golden retrievers. So they're three large dogs that sometimes bark. And I love them. I roll over. I'm like, oh, it's a neighbor's dogs. That's okay.
Just 3 a.m, neighbor's dogs.
I'm fine. I did one time when I was pregnant with Griffin. I was about 8 months pregnant and ginormous. And the next door neighbor's on the other side. What's worse? Do you think that like the big deep bark of like German shepherds or, you know, the maybe a pit bull is worse? Or do you think the little yippy bark from a dog, like a little Pomeranian or a Yorkie? What do you think is a worse noise to be woken up to?
Ooh, I would say the yippy bark.
Right? Because it's almost like now you're listening. It's incessant. It never. Feel like big.
High pitched.
Yes. I think it's the yippy dog. I mean, I love your yippy dogs. I've had yippy dogs. I've only had small yippy dogs in my life. And I hope those around us were not thoroughly annoyed with them. But our next door neighbor had a Yorkie that was yipping, yes, barking incessantly at 3 a.m. And I walked outside and just waited for her to come outside. I was like, really? You couldn't open the door and let your dog in. Here are other reasons not to call 911. Do not call 911 for a power outage. Who do you call? ComEd. They will always, or you can go online or on your phone. Hopefully your phone still has juice. You can check and see what's going on with the power in your neighborhood. Do not call 911 over burst water pipes. On the other hand, you know, when you can't call the police is for downed power lines. That's obviously a risk for everybody and a safety problem. Do not call 911 to ask about paying your tickets. Oh, come on, people. The reason I'm telling you this is because it happens. I know it sounds stupid to you, but somebody out there thinks it's okay. Do not call if you have a cold or flu-like symptoms. Do not call if someone has a minor cut. Okay, so we've got some more. I don't know. So you can call the police, but not 911 for those. No, 911's you're calling first responders. They will make a decision as to who to send out for your situation. So we're talking about 911. Let's see. 773, our garage was broken into. 911 was called. They have us go into the garage while they stayed in their car. It was ridiculous. How can I go? How can I now do the blue light for the cops? Because they didn't help us. Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that from the 773. All right. Let's, okay. Before we go to the break, since I'm still on this list, I'm going to wrap this up and move on to, oh, no, Joe wants to call about Tracy. So we'll come back to what you should do when you do call 911. And Joe wants to say something for Tracy when we come back on 720 WGN. Give us a call or text 312-981-7200. Rounding out our conversation about calls, frivolous calls to 911. We were talking about the stiff penalties and fines and possible jail time for calling 911 for non-emergency reasons. And we don't think that it's often prosecuted. The 630 says I would say not often, at least not in my experience, because it's such a harsh penalty. And listen to this. I mentioned this earlier, and we did get the text. I've heard of people calling 911 when they're in a fast food restaurant, Esmeralda. We've heard these like people at drive-thrus. They didn't get the food they wanted. At the 630, my daughter worked at McDonald's, and a customer called 911 because she thought she didn't get enough ice cream in her cone. However, the responding officer refused to press charges against the customer for frivolously calling 911. See, but here's the thing: how do we deter people from doing it if we don't use the deterrences in place? It's like calling somebody for using charcoal in the barbecue area. I don't understand. So that's our conversation about the 911 calls. But I was going to tell you the things that you should know when you do call 911. Does everybody know what information you need to have when you call 911? You need to be very specific in your information. I've missed the what you should hear. So know your location. I think that's obvious, right? Answer the dispatcher's questions. They will keep. Do not hang up until they hang up. They will keep you on the line. They need more information. They might have more questions. It's not because they're nosy. Your answers help the dispatcher determine what kind of help you need and how much. Follow the dispatcher's instructions to help keep you safe and explain perhaps how to do first aid if there's someone who is ill. Now, I want to switch gears here, and I know Michael was hoping, really, really hoping, that I wouldn't get to this topic. So, Michael, we've never used this button on the show with you here, I don't think, but I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Warning! We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned.
So this is for folks who sometimes
keep it classy.
We'll keep it. I don't know about that. I don't know why he promises that we'll keep it classy. We'll do our best. There's a trend that I've heard about it once in a while, and I'm not going to bring you into this conversation as unless you want to join us. But there's a woman who does these beauty columns and advice, and she puts stuff out there. And most recently, she wanted to impart upon people who were concerned, who had the concern about. Okay, here's the title. Why? We did do this already, right? We did this part, right? We did the warning.
Warning.
We did that adult topics. Why your vagina gets dark and how to lighten it. And this is a woman who usually like helps people like talking about their skin, you know, care regimen, maybe some weight loss stuff. I've heard this come up once in a while where they talk about your lady bits getting darker and how you can lighten it. I don't understand this, but she says the reason that she's sharing this is because there's so many stories online about women irritating the skin, ending up using products that burn them. So then I had to go down, of course, Esmeralda, as you do. You go down. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drag you into this conversation. You're more than welcome to step back. But I went down a rabbit hole of Googling whitening your vagina or lightening it. But it sounds like whitening, right? How light do you want it to get? Do you want to make it invisible? Well, how light are we going for? Opaque? How light is it going to get? And who's complaining? If you're invited to this, okay.
I do appreciate that she's giving out advice that probably won't burn you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, well, you could also make a salad with these ingredients. So I don't know if you want to be putting lemon on your bits. But there's...
I mean, not inside your bits.
Look, Michael's like, look, we have more 911 callers. We have more... Look, Patty.
On the outside.
This is just... I don't... See, but bleaching. There are women who are bleaching their bits. Don't bleach your bits.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why there's... I mean, I get, you know, like my elbows.
Right.
Get dark sometimes. Or my knees
ashy.
Get dark. Yeah.
Ashy.
And I can understand, you know, you see that and you're just like... No, someone could not be complaining about it out loud, but you yourself see it and you think, I need to do something about this, or I'm not happy about it. I mean, that's why there's like plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
For your vagina and things. Like, I don't think anyone's really complaining.
Yeah.
Or anything. So, but, you know, it's for themselves. But yeah.
Because they're self-conscious about it.
Yeah. But when people start putting, you know, things that probably shouldn't, it's sensitive.
Yeah, it is sensitive.
You know, things that are for other body parts.
But I don't understand. Oh, and then they're talking about like part of the problem might be that you're overweight, so that might be why you're getting darker down there, because you're causing friction on yourself and making it. I mean, like, all.
Yeah, I could see that. I get a bit of chub rub on my thighs, and it gets a little darker there.
Right. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, my thighs rub. I haven't looked at my thighs. Maybe that's the problem. Do I need to look at myself? Now I'm all self-conscious. Okay. The callers on hold are like, hey, let's switch the topics. Maybe we can switch the topics. Or maybe they want to know what ingredients to use to lighten your lady bits. Mary, that's not why you're calling. You're calling about 911, aren't you? Mary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. You want my story?
I do. So we were talking about frivolous calls in 911. Have you ever felt the urge to call 911?
Oh, yes. But I was so shook up, I didn't even know enough to call 911. I called my neighbor, said, there's somebody trying to break into my back door. And I could hear voices and all this pounding going on. And she said, call 911. So I hung up and I called 911, and the officer was there within 8 minutes. And it was some fellow.
Mm-hmm.
He was high on drugs and booze and whatever.
Oh, no.
And he was stark naked.
Oh!
It was December 26th.
So cold.
A couple of years ago.
Day before my birthday.
And, oh! He was in his birthday suit.
Yeah, there you go. He was celebrating for you, Michael.
I was terrified. I was 90 years old and all alone, and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even look up the sheriff's phone number. I was so shook up. And they said, oh, he's confused. Well, anybody on booze and all that kind of stuff would be confused.
Sure.
He was never charged. As I think about it later, I should have pressed charges and... because my door is still a mess.
Oh, no. See, now, Mary, that is a reason to call the police. That's someone trying to get into your house. That was absolutely accurate. I know that, and we do, like, in that moment of panic, there is like, what do I do? So I'm glad that there was someone there to help you out.
There was nobody here. I live alone. I've lived here for many years and never had anything like this happen before.
But your neighbor.
I
was talking about your neighbor. Of course, anybody would be terrified, Mary.
Well,
yeah,
I'm glad it's over. He isn't even living around here anymore. And the next morning when I went out, I found his pants.
Poor Mary.
Frozen to the driveway. So what had happened, I think, that he wet himself and he took them off there.
Oh, wow.
He was wandering around trying to find his home.
Mm.
It was awful.
Yeah, and I just imagine poor Mary out there trying to reconstruct what happened the evening before. Okay, here are his frozen pants. Where was he trying to go? He was trying to go in Mary's house. Well, it all turned out just fine. Mary, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Well, I'm sorry to bother you, but
you didn't.
I thought maybe that might be a 911 call.
It was a 911 call. Someone trying to get into your house, Mary, that's always a 911 call. Pantsless, definitely a 911 call. All of that.
Well, you have a good evening. What's left of it. Good morning or whatever.
Exactly. All right. Be well, Mary. Talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Billy, you had a 911 call, yes?
Yeah. Good morning, Patty. God bless that lady. She's 90 years old, huh?
Yep.
One quick thing before I get to the 911 story. You're talking about bleaching body parts and everything.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
It is. I mean, how does one go about fitting in a washing machine anyways? That's got to be dangerous. But I was watching, I think it was on Inside Edition. That's a couple years ago, or maybe one of those shows. A lady called 911, said she was trapped inside her car.
Oh, and no.
I swear to God. And I think it was Inside Edition. And the 911 operator took it, tongue in cheek, said, okay, I'm going to talk you through this. So first calm down, breathe. And she was actually, and then finally at the end, she says, okay, now there's a lever inside your door and you just pull it towards you. And it's sure enough. To this day, I don't know if it was a prank or this lady was serious, because when she called 911, she was serious on the phone. But
wow.
You were saying that you can get in, but people do call 911 for the silliest things, though. But
wow, sounds like she was very confused. Yep.
Yeah. But it turns out she was on some kind of medication that she shouldn't have been driving. It was for high blood pressure or something, and she had a bad reaction. And so she was actually freaking out in her car. It was like anxiety. And
yeah,
something so simple as just open your car door. It really, you know, but it was funny because the 911 operator at first was, you know, this is a serious, you know, line. You're supposed to only call with emergencies. But then she kind of did it tongue in cheek. But then at the end, she did realize she did need some kind of like medical attention. But it was kind of funny because the first words out of her mouth is, I'm trapped in my car. I don't know how to get out. You know,
oh my God.
That's crazy.
But
is that a law in Illinois where you can't call 911 for certain things? I just woke up, so I missed the beginning. Oh, okay.
It's a felony. It's a class 4 felony. In 2010, Governor Quinn passed that into law to protect law enforcement and first responders who were being called needlessly to locations. And you know, whether it was prank calls or to lure them into dangerous situations, too, there was a concern about that. But it's a $25,000 fine, up to $25,000 fine, and up to 3 to 4 years in jail.
Oh, because wasn't it in California like about 5-10 years ago where people were calling for the SWAT team or something? You remember that?
Oh, they're still doing that. That just happened in Wichita, where someone was the SWAT team was called to a house by actually a gamer in Los Angeles called on a fellow gamer he got into a fight with, said that the guy had killed somebody and was holding other people hostage, and he ended up losing his life in that situation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget what city it was in, but they ended up calling 911 to get all the responders there, and it turned out to be an ambush, and they started shooting. Yeah, I forgot what, oh.
That's another thing,
what
too.
What goes through some people's minds, you know, and
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, but on a lighter note, that was funny with the bleaching thing because, and there's the other thing that they bleach is the behind and stuff like that.
Yeah, people are doing that too. Michael's like, please don't talk about this. Please don't look at Michael. Michael's getting all kinds of blushing going on right now.
Yeah. And one last thing was the one that was the most bizarre. Well, Sammy Sosa now, but Michael Jackson, when he first did that, he did the bleaching with the face. And if you saw pictures of him when he was like, when Off the Wall came out,
yeah,
he was a good looking man. And then like 20 years later, it almost looked like, and no, I'm not trying to make, you know, light of it and stuff, but it was like, he almost looked like Planet of the Apes, you know, with Roddy McDowell. And why does he do that?
Why some people do that? It's overthinking it. And that's how I feel about like any of that. I mean, going to extremes with stuff like that. It's a shame people aren't secure, but you know, you get something in your head and you want to keep trying to, you know, work at it. I've got to run. Thank you so much, Billy.
Thanks,
you have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You too now. Bye-bye.
More after this on 720 WGN.